the Kansas City Chiefs do what they do. They beat the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. That's what they do. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, the Chiefs over Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, and the Bills. Four times they've faced each other in the playoffs. Chiefs are 4-0. And the chance at the three-peat, never been done before. Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelce, Chris Jones, Steve Spagnuolo, all of them marching toward a chance at history. To talk about the Chiefs, we bring in Ed Easton Jr. He covers the Chiefs for Chiefs Wire for USA Today. Hey, Ed, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Let's start with so many different things, history, legacy. We can talk about them all, but I actually want to start with Steve Spagnuolo, and I find it fascinating. Like last week, when the Chiefs played the Texans, it looked like for three quarters, Spags had a certain kind of defense, and the Texans were having some success, and they were moving the ball. And then we get to the fourth quarter, and it's like Spags had lulled them into a certain level of confidence, not bringing the blitz, and then he blitzed like crazy in the fourth quarter, and the entire football game changes. And I fast forward to today, and there it was, Spags. It looked like halftime adjustments, McDermott and the Bills. You know, they stop the Chiefs a couple times. They make them punt. And now the Bills are running the ball, and they're running it down their faces. And it just looked like, all right, advantage Bills, momentum Bills. And yet, biggest moment in the game, biggest drive, Josh Allen, ball in his hands, all of that happening. And Spags pulls out the blitzes that you haven't seen all game, and suddenly fourth and five, there's a corner blitz, free rusher to the quarterback, and it just feels like he hangs on to these plays, like he's taken this, I don't know, legacy from Bill Belichick, and we as Giants fans know this from back in the day, and Belichick is a defensive coordinator. You don't show things, and you look a certain way, and when the game matters most, suddenly you're showing them something very different, and the other team is completely caught off guard.
Yeah, that's basically the hallmark of everything that Steve Spagnuolo is all about. He always, it seems like every game, the first half, you see the offense on the other team doing a little more. They're getting some yards on the ground, usually through the run game. But not enough to the point where you're like, okay, this could be a big game in terms of how their system is set up. He does this just to make sure, like, okay, I can see how they have their wide receivers lined up. I can see how I want to cover this. One of the biggest things that I always talk about whenever people ask about Spagnuolo and what he does, you have to look in the secondary. There are so many different people he puts in the secondary. The personnel changes so much, to the point where you're like, okay, well, who's the safety? Who's the linebacker? Who's this? Who's that? He runs so many different players out there for specific packages. So when you see that during the first half of the game, you're probably thinking, okay, they got this set up because they're playing pass, they're playing man-to-man, they're doing this. They'll show a similar type of scheme in the second half, mostly in the fourth quarter, and he's blitzing the corner. Mm-hmm. He's blitzing the safety. He's always sending somebody. And some of his favorite guys that he's usually sending on these blitzes are like Justin Reed, Shamari Connors, another one. He knows there's like certain guys he's always going to send them. And it's always at a time where they're trying to hold the lead and they just got to make a play on the quarterback. So it becomes such a common thread. And another big thing that people tend to overlook, and I know obviously if you're like watching the games on a regular basis, Chris Jones is mm-hmm. so important to yeah. how everything operates. Mm-hmm. It takes two players just to block him. Every single play. And eventually he does get to the quarterback on his own, but he opens it up for a George Karlaftis on the end and different players so that he can allow him to do these blitzes with the corners, go, cover zero, and just throw it at him. And that's exactly what he did to Josh Allen. Josh Allen still doesn't know what hit him.
You mentioned Chris Jones. I'll follow up there then. Is obviously he's one of the best players in the league, defensive players, and the cornerstone of that Kansas City Chiefs defense. They've had so much success going for the, you know, three Super Bowls in the row, the three-peat, and yet we see him on the sidelines and so much emotion from Chris Jones. Why, after all the success that they've had, the contract that he has, you know, is there, you know, for those of us who watch the Chiefs a lot, but don't, you know, don't watch every game, you know, and know them quite as well as you do, what is it that's driving the emotion that we're seeing on the sidelines from Chris Jones?
I will say that it starts from the top with Andy Reid. The culture that they have in that building, they talk about it every single week. Whatever they have, they give media availability, they talk about just the culture, making sure they want to win. They've been talking about the three-peat without actually saying three-peat since last year's Super Bowl. This is just something they believe in. They trust in each other. A guy like Chris Jones, obviously how passionate he is with everything that he does, he talks about it every week. He understands he's not going to get the big sack numbers like he was in the past, but what he knows is that he's affecting winning. They talk about so often the players that haven't won that are on the team, the veterans like a Kareem Hunt that they picked up, DeAndre Hopkins. This was both for their first AFC championship game. So it's all about just how they are committed to each other. Andy Reid talks about this a lot. Steve Spagnuolo brings it up a lot. It's really a special group in terms of their unity and what they want to do for each other just to see the other person win. That's another big thing they say with Travis Kelce as well. And Kelce doesn't, you know, obviously as polarizing as he is, he's all about the team. They talk about just building guys up and trying to go after it. So it's really just them wanting to be the best for each other. I know that's such a rare thing when you talk about with sports today and players being about themselves and just trying to get that instant gratification, but it's just about building everyone up. So I look at it like that. They always find a different reason for motivation, and I think it's for a lot of those guys they just brought in, like I said, like Hopkins and Kareem Hunt.
Talking to Ed Easton Jr. from Chiefs Wire about the Chiefs heading back to the Super Bowl, the win against the Bills, and I thought another key to this game, Travis Kelce, yes, two catches, 19 yards, but Xavier Worthy, six catches, 85 yards and a touchdown, and if we were going to count the key plays in this game on one hand, one of them has to be the 26-yard reception where Worthy goes up, the rookie, and rips the ball, rips away an interception. And, mm-hmm. you know, that it's in the defender's hands, and he just goes up there and takes it away, you know, in the air, on the ground, wrestling, getting that ball, not giving up on the play. And I thought a few things in that moment. Number one, we're watching a rookie come of age and develop a number one draft pick that is coming into his own, but also that if you're Patrick Mahomes, how much does that build your confidence that this guy can be what my new go-to guy, because I can trust him and throw him jump balls and he's going to protect me and take away an interception, knock down a play, not let it turn into a turnover, and instead it ends up as a big play.
You know, I will say this. This was a whole progress in terms of him growing throughout the season. And we remember Xavier, just from the first game of the year, there was a lot of excitement in terms of the speed that he was showing. But there were moments during the season, especially on the first half, where he made little mistakes, where he stepped out of bounds, where the route, he didn't run correctly. Over time, as he kept working with Patrick, he kept working with Hollywood Brown, who's been very big behind the scenes. Juju Smith-Schuster, who had a big game today, was also pretty instrumental in just helping him understand the game, helping him understand how to work with Patrick. And remember, he's still a very young player. So like him going through that whole process of just understanding his role in the offense, making sure he's going out there and making the plays. We noticed it with his attitude just in the beginning. He seemed like very shy, very like, okay, I'm just here to just, you know, learn and do what I have to do, to his most recent presser where he was basically saying he has a chip on his shoulder because the Bills traded him originally during the draft. So his mindset just changed. Matt Nagy, a little earlier in the year, talked about how he saw the same progression in Rashee Rice last season, who was a rookie,
Yay. The
same way as Xavier Worthy. So you see the growth. You see that he's learning the system. You see that not only is he enjoying what he's doing, but he's understanding his role and how he makes everything better. So just seeing him fight for that ball and understanding the situation that there's no way you can allow an interception is all of that. That was just basically an example of his growth.
Obviously, so much of what we're going to focus on and the story from this game going to be Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Such a close game, 32-29. How is it that it is Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs that always come away with just those last couple of plays that make the difference?
I just think, it goes back to culture. It just goes back to the mindset that they are never rattled. I believe they won 17 in a row, counting today, of one-possession games because they're just never rattled. They understand the situation. They understand what they can do. I just remember from the score to tie the game at 29, I kept looking. I was like, Buffalo left a lot of time on the clock. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but you're going against a guy like Mahomes. You're going against Andy Reid and just the way they go about business. It's very routine. They're not trying to overthink something that they've done a million times. It's just about going out and executing. Andy was talking about that in his post-game presser tonight. It's all about the detail. You got to go in there. You have to understand the detail, what a third down, what you have to do here. So it shouldn't feel like any pressure or any type of difference of what you're used to doing. It just has to be routine. So they have that mindset. You could call it a championship mindset because we see that they're in the Super Bowl again for the fifth time in 6 years. It's just knowing the situation, knowing what they have to do, and going out and executing. So there's never any worry. As long as they're, you know, it could be 13 seconds, it could be 5 minutes, you have to count on Mahomes coming through.
What would a three-peat mean to the legacy of Patrick Mahomes, of Andy Reid?
I think it means pretty much everything that you would hope for, because obviously it's never been done before. So I think it does put him in that class. I know they're going to say Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and he has earned that right to be called that. But just the consistency that Mahomes has shown at such a young age, and then you have Andy Reid and the way that he's going about business, even going back to Philadelphia, it just puts that extra stamp of approval that this may be the greatest run that the NFL has seen. And it's hard to argue when you see what the Patriots went through for decades, but this Chiefs team has kept the same type of mindset from their first title. And you could actually go back to that year in 2018 where they did lose in the AFC Championship game. They have just a swagger to them where they know who they are. They know what they're about, but now the whole league is seeing it. They have this fear in terms of, okay, doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter. As long as Mahomes has the ball in his hands, they're going to win. So I look at the three-peat as just being the icing on the cake in terms of what this team has done. And it's something that I know there's a lot of haters out there. That's one of the biggest topics about whether or not they are legit because of a conspiracy with the refs. But I think there's a time where people have to just look at what greatness is. This is something that we have never seen before, and we just have to like appreciate greatness.
One area, you know, as we look ahead and think about the Super Bowl and what I think seems like a great matchup, and the Eagles playing the best in the NFC right now, and you know, when you think about Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, and some of the fun of what we're about to see. The other area that maybe will get overlooked over the next 2 weeks, but could be really important, special teams. And we've talked about Fangio, we've talked about, with the Chiefs, we talked about, you mentioned Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, obviously offensively, and there's Steve Spagnuolo, but Dave, Dave Taub, the special teams coach there, and when you look at the difference in this game, I thought special teams, for a game that was a three-point game, I thought special teams was a really big factor as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there was some concern going into the postseason because of Mecole Hardman, who has been the punt returner, the kick returner all season. He was down with an injury. You get Remigio in there, and he's a guy that made a huge impression during training camp to just make the practice squad. So seeing him get this opportunity this late in the year, I think he was called up in December, to play such a big role in the postseason as a returner. He's already a legitimate threat from what he did last week and even in today's game. Harrison Butker, his whole situation with his injury, the Chiefs went through a process where he had three different kickers kick game winners during the season, which is as rare as it can get. But Dave Taub has found ways to get this group to make plays. I keep going back to that game against Denver, which everyone expected them to lose. They get the blocked field goal to win the game. They work on that play so often that it's just interesting that when you see it actually work out in the game, it's great. Justin Reed, the way he's able to get off the line and get to the ball, it distracts so much that a guy like Leo Chanel, who's the linebacker on the team, able to get up there and get the ball, it's all teamwork. Like, they know what they're doing. They understand the mindset. But special teams has always been a key part of them, and Dave Taub is probably the best in the business. And that's something that you're going to see in the Super Bowl, how they're going to handle it. Because I think they got a blocked field goal last year as well in the Super Bowl. So it is something that they are accustomed to.
Chiefs obviously been there, done that, going for the three-peat. But what will these next 2 weeks be like in terms of Andy Reid and the Chiefs, and what will the focus be?
Well, the thing with Andy is he's always stuck to his routine. He's going to have his days where he's going to meet with the players. He's going to have his set schedule in terms of the practice. He's just a creature of habit. Like, nothing's going to really be that different. Of course, it's Super Bowl week, so there's always going to be all the different commitments that they're going to be a part of. But since they're so used to it, the core of this team is used to going to Super Bowls on a regular basis. It won't really change the way they view things. I look at this team and I feel like you give them any extra day of rest, they're going to be better. You talk about Travis Kelce, they made a big deal because he is 35. They said, oh, he needs the extra week of rest. And you know, he says often, he said, it doesn't matter, I don't listen to that stuff. They get any extra time, it works. Remember, they went off a span where they played three games in 10 days from that Christmas, and it was a lot, but they still won all those games. This is a team, you give Andy Reid any amount of time, I think he's the best coach after a bye week in terms of record-wise. You give him any time, that team is going to be prepared. So this is just going to help them even more. And they're used to the media circus. So they're not, this is just a regular routine thing for them.
Yeah, I think for the Eagles, yes, this is a rematch from a few years ago, but it is, you know, and for players like Saquon Barkley, obviously it's a first Super Bowl. This is going to be a big deal and a big game to those Eagles players. And for Andy Reid and the Chiefs, I think just call it Sunday. Yes, it's a Super Bowl. Yes, it's the playoffs. But it is, in some ways, just another game. And I think that makes players be less nervous, and the pulses don't quicken, the game doesn't speed up, and that is, I think, a competitive advantage in the biggest moments. Ed Easton Jr. from Chiefs Wire, from part of USA Today, really, really appreciate the time. You can follow Ed online or and his work. Really appreciate it, Ed. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.